Say, it's time for...
All Sweet.
Did you hear what the lady said?
I said, All Sweet. All Sweet is the margarine with the delicate natural flavor.
Yes, friends, that's what all the ladies are saying. All Sweet. The margarine with the delicate natural flavor. Swift All Sweet Margarine invites you to Meet the Meat. Well, the autumn air is crisp around the little white house with the green shutters, but it's even crisper in another part of town where Mortimer Meek and Louie are admiring a big white mansion through the cold, forbidding bars of an iron fence.
Ah, fair. There it is, Louie. Hey, Mr. Barker owns it now, and he's trying to sell it. But the place used to belong to J.B. Peabody, huh? The wealthiest man in town.
Oh, boy, what a shack.
Yeah, they say he once gave a big turkey dinner in his house for 100 guests, Louis. Yes, and believe it or not, every single one of them was a celebrity. Certainly wish I could have been here.
Yeah, me too, Morty. I love turkey.
You know, Louis, I'd like to take a look around inside sometime. It's supposed to be fabulous.
Huh?
Why, I understand there are at least three kitchens.
Three kitchens? Hmm? Wow.
Yeah, and that's only the beginning. The floor downstairs is made entirely of pink marble imported from Italy. Now, isn't that something?
You said it. Three kitchens. One for each meal. Oh, that's what I call living.
You know, that's what I... Louis, you're hopeless.
Yeah. Boy, I sure would like to see them. Hey, this fence ain't very high, but there ain't any place you can get a foothold to climb it.
What? To climb it? Louis, don't you see that sign? It says, trespassers will be prosecuted.
Say, it's a good thing you noticed that, Morty.
Huh?
Now I can put one foot on top of the sign and swing right over the fence.
Here, Louis.
I made it.
Louis, you come back here. Now, we've got to drive downtown and do some shopping for Agatha, remember?
Oh, what's the rush? We got all morning.
Louis, I'll drive off without you.
But, Morty, I'm your ever-loving brother-in-law. You wouldn't do a thing like that to me, would you?
What makes you think I wouldn't?
I got the car keys in my pocket.
Makes no difference. Louis, now you give me your seat. Louis, just like a little boy. A little boy with two heads.
That's the idea, Morty. Come on over. Ah, look. What a view. Look at them big evergreen trees. Look at that beautiful lawn.
Hey, you.
Look at that old geezer with a shotgun. Come on, let's get out of here.
No, it might cut you for the bird shot.
You, now we're in for it.
Relax, Morty, relax. I'll talk us out of this.
What's the big idea, climbing that here fence?
Well, we had it. We couldn't crawl under it. Anyway, what's it to you?
Clearly. I'm the caretaker for Mr. Barker. My name's Charlie Finch, and you're trespassing, and I'm going to have the law on you.
You better start talking, Louis.
Now, no, hold on, Charlie. I guess you don't know who we are, do you?
Nope.
Well, this is Martin Featherstone, and I'm Jonathan Fowler.
You don't say so.
Yep, we're two of the biggest industrial magnates in the country. Featherstone and Fowler, that's us. Steel mills, coal mines, and oil wells galore.
Oh, yes, there's plenty of oil.
Yeah, we wasn't trespassing, Charlie. We were just looking the place over. We might buy it, only I think the house is kind of small.
More? Got 34 rooms.
Only 34, huh? Well, I guess we could rough it.
Louis, you don't have to overdo it.
Suppose it's none of my business, but how come you're thinking of settling in Civic Center?
Well, I'll tell you, Charlie, we're looking the town over for a couple of days, and if it suits us, well, we'll be building some factories here. Maybe, about three or four, maybe.
Three or four?
Yeah.
Say, you fellas sure are a couple of big operators, ain't you?
You said it, Charlie. We leave our mark every place we go. Nobody ever forgets the name of...
Quick, Morty, who did I say we were? Featherstone and Fowler.
Yeah, nobody ever forgets the name of Featherstone and Fowler. And now, if it ain't too much trouble, how about showing us around this joint, huh?
Well, I suppose it's all right, but you sure you ain't pulling my leg about being interested in buying the place, are you?
Who, me?
Yep.
Listen, Charlie, if I ain't telling you the truth, then my name ain't Johnstone Feather Fowler.
Now, even though the Earl of Sandwich is said to have invented the sandwich, we Americans have greatly improved upon it, and are constantly doing so. Of course, one of the easiest ways to make new sandwiches is to vary the bread. For instance, there are any number of quick breads with fruit or nuts that are easy to make and that make pleasing the youngsters easy. And any good cookbook will yield simple recipes for peanut bread, prune bread, fig bread, molasses nut bread, banana nut bread, and just plain old-fashioned graham bread, one of the tastiest of all bread. And doubly so when spread evenly and smoothly with Swift's all-sweet margarine. And you don't have to worry about all-sweet nuts spreading easily and smoothly on any type of bread. Even when cold, you'll find that all-sweet spreads evenly and quickly with no trouble at all. So for delicious and nutritious sandwiches, spread your favorite breads with all-sweet. The margarine with the delicate, natural flavor.
Yes, Mrs. Meek, my caretaker, old Charlie Finch, called me a few minutes before I came over here. And you never guess who he just showed the Peabody place to.
Who, Mr. Barker?
Featherstone and Fowler.
Featherstone and Fowler? Oh, how absolutely wonderful. Who are Featherstone and Fowler?
Two big industrialists from out of town, Peggy.
Oh?
I've decided to give a dinner party for them tonight and have them meet some of our leading citizens.
Oh.
To see if we can persuade them to stay here, it'll be a cinch for me to sell them the Peabody place.
But I thought somebody else wanted to buy it.
Yes, old man Gallagher is interested, but he refuses to meet my price. So,
well, I don't blame you, Mr. Barker. And I'm sure your dinner is going to be a big success. Bertie's such a wonderful hostess.
That's just the trouble, Mrs. Meek. Bertie's gone. She went home to visit her mother last night. Isn't that too bad?
But, Mr. Barker, how are you going to get along without her?
Well, I decided I'd have to get somebody else to manage the dinner for me. So I said to myself, now, who's the best cook in city?
Oh, I am not, Mr. Barker.
Oh, yes, you are, Mrs. Meek. I don't quite know how to say this, but I wonder if...
Of course. We'll have the dinner right here at our house, and Peggy and I'll prepare it for you.
Good. Naturally, I'll pay for everything. And tomorrow I'm going to shop around downtown until I find a very nice present for each of you.
Oh, we couldn't let you do that, could we, Peggy?
I should say not. You just give us the money, Mr. Barker, and we'll pick out something ourselves.
Peggy, me.
Fair enough, Peggy, fair enough. Now then, about the dinner.
Now, don't you worry about a thing, Mr. Barker. Everything's going to be perfect. We'll bake the pies and cakes right away.
Fine. Then I'll use your phone and start inviting my guests. I can hardly wait to see their faces tonight when they meet those two big shots. Telephone and Paula.
Oh, well, hello, Mr. Barker. Hey, Baggett, it tells me you're giving a dinner party here tonight.
That's right, Pete. Uh-huh. I just finished calling eight of my guests. Now all I have to do is to get hold of my guests of honor, and I'll be all set.
Your guests of honor, huh? Who are they?
Well, I'm sure you've never heard of them, Leach. But their names are Featherstone and Fowler.
Oh, Featherstone and Featherstone and Featherstone. You know. No.
What's the matter? You know them?
Know them, huh? We know them as well as we know ourselves. What Louis means is that we've heard of them. And believe me, Mr. Barker, you don't want to invite them to your dinner.
Now, just a minute, Beak. I'll have you know that Featherstone and Fowler are two very distinguished gentlemen.
What, them jerks?
Jerks. Listen, they're two of the biggest industrialists in this country. I'd give anything to be in their shoes. And I bet you would, too.
I'd give anything to be out of them. Look, Mr. Barker, now why don't you take my advice?
Rubbish, Meek. I'm going to invite them, and since old man Gallagher won't meet my price, I'm going to sell them the Peabody price.
You want a bet?
Can you think of any reason why I can't?
Yeah, they ain't got the money.
Don't be silly, Leek. They're millionaires.
Oh, yes, but maybe they're poor millionaires.
Mr. Barker?
Yes?
Mommy's got the menu all prepared for tonight. Would you care to take a look at it?
I'll be right there, Peggy.
All right.
Meantime, Meek, I want you to get on that phone and find out at which hotel Featherstone and Fowler are registered.
Oh, but Mr. Barker...
I'm going to call them as soon as I get back.
Oh, what a mess. Louis, why did you have to tell that caretaker our names were Featherstone and Fowler?
Well, I didn't like Flugemeyer and Frobisher.
Look, it wouldn't be so bad if Peggy and Agatha hadn't started on the dinner yet, and if Mr. Barker hadn't already invited eight guests. But if they ever find out the truth now, we're stumped.
Yeah.
Peggy and Agatha will probably never speak to us again.
Oh, Morty, that'd be awful.
Yeah.
How would we know when our meals were ready?
No. And Mr. Barker would undoubtedly fire me. You know what that means, Louie. You'll have to look for a job.
A job?
Mm.
Oh, Morty, you shouldn't have said that. You just killed something inside of me. Something big and fine and beautiful.
What?
My appetite.
Yes. Uh-oh. I think Mr. Barker's coming back. Well, I suppose I can't get out of this, but I'm going to feel awfully foolish calling all the hotels and asking them if you and I are there when we're right here. Oh, Featherstone and Fowler aren't registered there, then. Yeah, I see. Thank you.
Meek, what's the matter with you?
Huh?
Any moron could locate them without wasting time. Here, give me that phone. I'll show you.
Yes, maybe you could get...
Oh,
no, but Mr. Buck...
Nice, delicious cake. I wonder what kind of icing this is.
It ain't lemon. And it ain't butterscotch.
Well, Meek...
But, Mr. Barker, that was the last hotel in town. I've called all the others already.
What? How in the world are we ever going to find them now?
I know.
You do, Leach, you do?
Yeah, it's pineapple icing.
Oh, pineapple. Well, Meek, I don't know how yet, but they're my guests of honor, and we've got to get hold of them some way. I don't care how much work it takes.
Work? Oh, please, not while I'm eating.
Oh, Mr. Barker, Carlton, I just overheard you, and...
And what?
Well, sir, I think we could track down Featherstone and Fowler for you.
Uh-huh.
Huh? Oh, well, that's ridiculous, Harold.
No, it isn't. Last night we saw how Humphrey Bogart does it.
Humphrey Bogart?
Sure, in a movie. Boy, what a picture. We saw Bogey shoot 12 guys.
12? Hey, I seen that picture. I only counted 6.
Well, we sat through it twice, Uncle Louis.
Say, okay, maybe you could find him, but that young man... Suppose I offered a reward of $25.
$25?
Yeah. How would you like that?
In singles, so it'll look like more.
Oh, no, excuse me, Mr. Barker, but I don't think Peggy and Harold will ever find him.
Oh, Daddy, we will, too.
Very well, Meek, I'll tell you what. I'm going to send you out with them to look for Featherstone and Fowler.
Me? Oh, but I can't. I'm...
Meek, you can help, too. If you find him, why, I might give you a job.
A job? Now, see here, threatening me ain't going to get you no place.
Mr. Barker.
Well, young man, you have any idea how you're going to go about this?
Yes, sir. The same way Bogey did. First, we got to find out everything we can about Featherstone and Fowler.
Good. My boy, you've got a head on your shoulders.
Yes, sir, that's what it is. Thank you, sir.
Harold, I've got an idea. Let's go out to the Peabody place and talk to the caretaker.
The caretaker? Oh, but
sure, Daddy. He saw them. And he can give us a description of them. And maybe he can give us some other clues, too.
Fine. Come on, Harold, Peggy. My car's outside.
What?
I'm going to let you borrow it to drive out and see Charlie or Finch. Meek, you and Louis wait here.
Yes, sir.
You and Louis can join in the search as soon as we have some information to go on.
Well, Louis, this is some situation. Now we've got to help them look for ourselves.
Well, what were they like? Were they sort of tall and distinguished looking?
No, not exactly distinguished looking. I'd say it was more extinguished looking. Seems like the Featherstone fellow had on a blue striped suit.
Oh, that's no help. Mm. Golly, there must be hundreds of men with blue striped suits. My daddy's even got one.
What about Fowler? Do you remember what he was wearing, Mr. Finch?
Just a red necktie, that's all.
What? Just a red necktie?
Had a little egg on it. Scrambled.
Oh, gee, Peggy, we aren't getting anywhere. Maybe...
Hey, it just came back to me. Yes, sir. They were driving a dark blue car, and it got me a look at the license number. It was 7747.
7747?
Yep.
Oh, Harold, this is the clue we've been looking for.
You said it, Peggy. When we find that license number, we'll find their car. And when we find their car, we'll find Featherstone and Fowler. Come on. We did it, Mr. Barker. We did it.
Good. Good. What did you find out?
Oh, they were driving a car. The same color that ours is, dark blue. And we found out their license number.
Oh, my. Their license number?
Uh-huh. And do you know what it is?
I certainly did. I mean, no. But what was it?
It's 7747.
Oh.
Nice work. Well, what's your next
one? Oh, we've got it all planned out. Go ahead, Hal. Tell them.
Well?
That's right. We're going to drive around town and look at the license plates of every dark blue car we see. Daddy can drive our car, and Uncle Louie and Harold and I'll watch for 7747.
No.
Oh, yes. It's an excellent idea, Meek. Well, what are you waiting for? Get going.
But, Mr. Barker...
Oh, golly, what's the matter, Daddy? You look like you were going to be shot at sunrise.
He looks more like he had been shot at sunrise. Something must be eating you, Mr. Meek.
What's that? Somebody say something about eating?
Louie, listen, Louie.
All right, Meek, stop stalling. Get going and take this lout with you.
Lout? Now, hold on. Just what is a lout?
A lout, for your information, Leach, is an oaf.
Oh, okay. For a minute, I thought you was insulting me.
And, Meek, as soon as you find Featherstone and Fowler, telephone me so I can get in touch with them and invite them to dinner tonight.
All right, Mr. Barker. But, boss, may we use your car?
His car? What's wrong with our car, Daddy?
Well, it only runs on 6 cylinders.
Oh, well, in that case...
But, Mr. Meek, it's only got 6 cylinders.
Yes.
What? Meek, why are you trying to get out of using your car?
Well, it's out in the garage, and the doors are closed.
We'll have it open them for you, Daddy.
No, Peggy, no. If you do that, you'll see this. If you see...
Oh, what's the use?
Hey, Morty, what's the matter with you? You're going all to pieces.
What's the difference? In about 3 minutes, somebody's going to take me apart anyway.
If your house is like our house, when guests are invited for dinner, out comes the family silver, the best china, the prettiest table linen. And, of course, you serve your favorite dishes. That wonderful chicken casserole, that special molded salad, all your best foods. That's why at company dinners, it's all sweet margarine that lends its golden goodness to your fluffy mashed potatoes. It's all sweet, delicate, natural flavor that melts into your special dinner rolls. Yes, once you've tried all sweet, you'll serve it proudly to your fussiest guests. Of course, when you come right down to it, probably no guest is fussier than your own family. And when Dad says, hey, all sweet's wonderful on these pancakes, and when Brother Louie raids the icebox for all sweet and crackers, then you know you've found the perfect table spread in delicate, natural-flavored all sweet. And remember, all sweet not only tastes good, it's good for you. Yes, every pound is fortified with at least 15,000 units of the protective vitamin A. So next time, get the so-good margarine that's so good for you. Get all sweet, the margarine with the delicate, natural flavor.
Now, hurry, Louie, hurry. Maybe we can still stop them before they open the garage doors. If they see that license number, we're sunk.
Uh-oh, look, they got the doors open already.
Oh, good. I'm just dying to get my hands on that reward.
Now, look, everybody. We've got to keep our eyes open. If we don't...
If we don't, we're going to look like a bunch of dopes running around with them clothes.
Yeah. No. If we don't, we might miss that number. We might...
Hey.
Hmm?
Hey, do you see what I see?
What?
Look at this license plate on Mr. Meek's car.
Oh, this is it.
Look, it's got red glass reflectors on it. Just the kind I've been trying to get for my bike. Now, where was I?
We've got to keep our eyes open.
Oh, yeah. We've got to keep our eyes open if we want to find Featherstone and Fowler. You know, you're lucky you got me with you. I've got eyes like an Indian scout.
Oh, golly. 2 hours and not a sign of that license number. Let's quit.
You said it, Peggy. Let's quit.
I was beginning to think they'd never give up.
Yeah, so was I. Now, look, Peggy, Harold, we can't quit yet.
Mm-hmm.
No, shouldn't we try a little longer? There, that's long enough.
Daddy, will you let us out right here in front of Green's drugstore?
Well, of course, dear.
We may as well drown our sorrows in a couple of Cokes. Oh, gosh, I sure feel dismal about missing out on that reward Mr. Barker offered us.
Me, too. I was going to buy something special for someone very near and dear to me.
Oh, Harold, me?
No, Peggy. Me. Bye, Mr. Meek, Uncle Louie.
So long,
Sure. Well, Morty, they still don't know we're Featherstone and Fowler.
Louie, we've got to do something. We've got to get rid of us. So Mr. Barker will let us stop looking for ourselves.
Yeah, that's what we got.
Huh? How's that again?
I said... Oh, I got it. You mean we got to tell Barker Featherstone and Fowler got killed or something, huh?
Yes, but nothing that drastic. Now, let's go up to the office and see if we can get any ideas.
Yeah, okay, Morty. I always think better with my feet up on a desk.
Oh, if only you hadn't told the caretaker that fantastic story. Well, I hope you've learned your lesson.
Oh, Morty, I sure have.
Yes, and I bet you'll think twice before you tell another lie.
I sure will. Next time, I'm going to make me up a foolproof story.
Well, Louie, take your feet off of Mr. Barker's desk and tell me what you think of the idea.
It's okay, but suppose Barker recognizes you.
Well, he won't because I'm going to disguise my voice.
Hello?
This is Martin Featherstone. I'd like to speak to Mr. Barker, please.
Mr. Barker? Oh, I'm sorry, but he left.
Oh, I see. Well, who am I speaking to, Agatha?
What?
I mean, I'm... Am I speaking to Agatha Meek?
Why, yes, Mr. Featherstone.
I just ran into Mr. Meek. Oh, a brilliant fella. You are a lucky woman, Miss Meek, to have such a wonderful husband.
Oh, why, thank you. I think so, too.
Mr. Meek told me about Mr. Barker's dinner party.
Morty.
Mr. Fowler and I'd like to be there, but unfortunately, we have to leave town on the next train.
Morty.
I thought Mr. Barker said you had a car.
Well, we did. We rented one. Well, you convey our regrets to Mr. Barker, please.
Of course I will.
Thank you. Goodbye, dear.
Really, Mr. Featherstone, excuse me.
Goodbye. Yeah, that's that, Louis. All our troubles are behind us now.
You ain't kidding, Morty. Just turn around and look.
Yes, I was just looking at that.
Well,
whoa, Mr. Barker.
Meek, what was that preposterous twaddle I just heard? Tell me at once.
Yes, sir. Well, I didn't know you were standing in back of me. I mean, yes.
You idiot. You blundering, treacherous, double-crossing idiot.
Now, wait a minute, Barker. I'm not going to stand here and listen to you talk to Morty like that.
Oh, you aren't, eh? Well, what are you going to do about it?
I'm going to wait outside.
Yes, and I think I will, too.
Come back here.
Oh,
Meek, you deliberately tried to make these things that the solar power were leaving town. So you get out looking for them, didn't you?
Well, no, I...
Well, now you're going to find them for me, or so help me, I'll fire you.
Well, that does it. If I don't find him, I'll get fired. And if I do find him, I'll get fired. Whew. Hot, isn't it?
Oh, Mother, Mr. Featherstone just phoned?
Yes, Peggy. He and Mr. Fowler can't come to the dinner tonight. They're leaving town on the next train.
The next train? It doesn't leave until 4:30. I wonder...
Oh, Peggy, what are you up to?
Mother, I bet you it'll be worth $25 to Mr. Barker if I go down to the railway station and get them to change their minds.
Change their minds?
Sure, I can do it. I'll argue. I'll plead. I'll cry as if my heart would break. If nothing else works, my tears will certainly move them.
Yes, dear, right onto the train and out of town. And besides, how would you ever find them? You've never seen them before, and the station's going to be mobbed.
Why?
Because there's a convention in town. The Loyal Order of Gophers.
Oh, golly. Hey, wait a minute. Mr. Barker's caretaker has seen them. I'll ask him to go with me and he can point them out. I'm going to call him right away, Mother.
But what if he won't go with you?
Oh, he'll go. I'll argue. I'll plead. I'll cry. As if my heart would break.
Peggy, I think that's a deceitful trick. Any girl who used tears on a man to get what she wants is taking unfair advantage of him. Where'd you get ideas like that, anyway?
I watched when you were working on Daddy for that new coat.
I don't care if you are starving, Louie. We've got to think of some way to get out of this mess.
Oh, Daddy. Hello, Louie.
Hello, Peggy.
Well, Daddy, everything's going to be okay. Mr. Barker's caretaker is coming over here in a few minutes.
Goodbye, Peggy.
But, Daddy, Uncle Louie, what's the matter? He's just going to take me down to the railway station and point out Featherstone and Fowler for me.
Yeah, but we don't want to see him, Peggy. Come on, Louie, let's get out of here.
Oh, I think it's perfectly silly to run away just as if you don't want to see it.
Yeah, Peggy's right, Morty. It's silly to run away. Come on, let's hide.
All right, Louie. How about the garage?
Let's get going.
Yeah, I'm right behind you.
Louie, look out! Oh, my head. Why don't you look where you... Holy smoke, I can't hear you!
Howler! Howler and
Featherstone!
I can't understand a word he's saying, Niecy.
Well, no wonder. You got both your hands over his mouth.
Oh, yeah, he tried to bite me. Oh, he did bite me.
Uh-oh, here comes Richard Barker.
What's going on here? Leach, what do you think you're doing?
Fowler and Mr. Barker!
That's a lie!
Mr. Barker, that's them! There's Featherstone and Fowler!
What?
Fowler, that's what they told me this morning!
Nick! Leach?
Yes, sir.
So you're Featherstone and Fowler, eh?
That's them!
You want to buy the Peabody place? Guess the bother I'm giving a big dinner for tonight. Well, say something!
Okay. What time does dinner start?
Start! It's off! It's finished! Ruined!
Mr. Barker!
Shut up, Meek! You're fired!
Oh, but Mr. Barker, maybe there's an explanation why they pretended to be
Featherstone. There is. They've been acting like a couple of idiots, but they've got a reason.
Well, what's that?
They're a couple of idiots!
Well, now let's see what this next one says. Wanted. Alert? Ambitious? Yeah. Young man? Yeah. To demonstrate and sell handy household utensils. I wonder who that is. Hello?
Meek? Barker. Well, Meek, I sold the Peabody place.
You did?
To old man Gallagher and at my own price. He was afraid Featherstone and Fowler would beat him to it.
Well,
But that isn't the only reason I called.
Mm-hmm.
Listen, I just heard a rumor that two gophers were going to offer you a job.
What? Two gophers?
Yes, two businessmen in town with the Loyal Order of Gophers convention. Their names are Baldridge and Bascom.
Baldridge and Bascom? And they're going to offer me a job? Well, I don't even know them.
That's what I heard. But they won't get away with it, Meek. I'm not going to let them steal my best man away from me.
Oh, but Mr. Barker, you fired me.
Oh, that's beside the point. Listen, Meek. I'll give you a raise if you come back to work. What do you say?
Well, yes, Mr. Barker, if you say so.
Good. Then I'll see you Monday morning. Signed, forgivingly yours, Walter Barker.
Baldridge and Bascom?
Peggy.
Oh, Peggy, dear. I got my job back, dear. Oh. Yes, Mr. Barker heard a rumor that Baldridge and Bascom were going to offer me a job.
Yes, I know all about it, Daddy.
And I... You do?
Sure.
Well, all right, then. Suppose you tell me who Baldridge and Bascom are.
Well, I can tell you this much, Daddy. If Mr. Barker who knew who they were, he'd really blow his top.
You, Peggy... Peggy, you don't mean...
Why not, Daddy?
Huh?
If you and Uncle Louie can be Featherstone and Fowler, I guess Harold and I can be Baldridge and Bascom.
You want to know what's my idea of a perfect breakfast? Well, first, get some buckwheat flour. Then whip up a batch of buckwheat cakes. Make them up with Swift's Brookfield sausage and bring them to the table simply dripping with delicate, natural-flavored, all-sweet margarine. That's a breakfast that'll bring any man to the table on the double. But say, here's a tip. Make plenty of buckwheat cakes and have lots of all-sweet and maple syrup handy. Yes, ma'am, for a top-notch breakfast, put all-sweet at the top of your grocery list today. Now, if you live in one of the states whose laws permit the sale of colored margarine, you can buy yellow all-sweet in solid and quartered pounds. But whether you buy yellow or white margarine, be sure to ask for All Sweet. The margarine with the delicate, natural flavor.
And here's a check, Mrs. Meek, for all the time and effort you put into that dinner.
Oh, thank you, Mr. Barker. Why, Mr. Barker, how generous. Oh, I have to tell this to my shoe husband, Mr. Meek and Mr. Featherstone.
Peggy and Harold.
Yes, Mr. Barker?
I'm going to give you two the reward I offered.
Oh.
I think you earned it. There's $12.50 for each of you.
Oh, thanks, Mr. Barker.
Gee, thank you, sir.
And now I've got another little proposition for you.
What?
Well, I think I might be able to do some business with a couple of visiting gophers named Baldridge and Bascom.
Baldridge
and Bascom?
Yes, but I don't have any idea where they're staying. So I'm going to give you another $25 reward if you find them for me. Call me at the office when you do.
Okay, Mr. Barker. Come on, Harold. Let's see if we can find us.
Meet the Meek stars Forrest Lewis and Burl Vaughn. Today's script was written by Bob Piron and produced and directed by Les Weinrott. Be sure to join us over these same stations next Saturday when All Sweet, the margarine with the delicate natural flavor, again invites you to Meet the Meek. This is John Weigel speaking.
This is NBC, the National Broadcasting Company.